All right. Out on the road. I looked down and saw that you were talking about cars for kids. But when I glanced at it, it looked like you said Karate Kids. And I was a little more excited about the idea of Karate Kids. Sometimes a Friday morning requires bold moves. Sometimes any morning could require some bold moves. You really don't know how things are going to go. Some mornings you got to get out there and live, you know? And I think that might be how it goes this morning. We'll see. Just got decisions to make ahead here. Played a little Doom last night. It's all right. That thing's kind of cool. I wonder if it will hold up through the duration of the campaign, because there are parts of it that already felt like maybe a little repetitive with the melee kills and stuff, like having to kind of constantly go through the melee kill animations to get health seemed a little, I don't know, it kind of takes you out of the game. You know, you're like, hey, watch this quick animation. Like, they're quick. But I don't think a lot of them look that great. You know, there's a few where you're like, the guy put his thumbs into the demon's eyeballs and pulled him in half. And you're like, all right, well, that's stupid. And all right. But, but yeah, I don't know. They didn't look all that awesome, and you don't get that much health from doing them. So maybe the answer is to just to kind of stop doing them. But the game is such that, like, so far anyway, ammo has been at something of a premium, which is a weird thing to say about a Doom game. But, like, the shotgun holds 20 shells. And, you know, there's ammo around. You know, every time it kind of bowls out into a little combat arena for you to fight some fucking dudes, you're going to find a little bit of health, a little bit of ammo just kind of there. And sometimes the enemies will drop ammo when you get them. But there were definitely moments just kind of playing, I don't know, first couple hours maybe. I got up to the assault rifle and then didn't play much past that, if you're familiar with the game. And I don't know. I rarely actually ran out of ammo, but it was, and maybe that's kind of cool, but like it's just limited enough to where you're a little concerned. You know, like, it's a number where you're like, okay, well, I can replenish this, because there's gonna be more shotgun shells somewhere. But at the same time, like, it's just limited enough to where you're kind of on, I was constantly finding myself, like, really frustrated when I missed a shot. So I was like, fuck, man, jeez. And I had a bad run of missing shots, and then was suddenly out of ammo, and was like, oh, well, shit. Now I have to use this infinite ammo pistol, which is not a great weapon. And that's kind of by design. I've decided to take matters into my own hands. I've decided to be bold. I decided to live my life. Hi, can I get a number 4 with a large Diet Coke to drink?
Number 4 with a large Diet Coke.
And that's it?
Alright, 568 for Sunday.
Alright, thanks. John Romero heads in the game? None yet, but I haven't finished it, so hopefully, you know, hopefully it ends with a link to Romero's Kickstarter. That would be the worst.
Oh, shit. It's a large Diet Coke, huh?
Yeah.
Alright, it's 562.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Eating Coke for some odd reason. There you go.
All right, thanks a lot.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
Hi there, how are you doing today?
Hi, no thanks.
All right. That's a large diet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You need to eat just a half one, right?
All right, yep.
You have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Cars to get through the hash browns as quickly as you possibly can. Ah. Which is hard because sometimes they're very hot. Now, I got a biscuit sandwich, which is not, that's not the low level. Like, look, if you're just getting started on eating breakfast sandwiches in the car, I'm really going to recommend you go with, like, a McGriddles, because they don't flake apart. They're generally pretty together. You can get them down. Without making a mess. The biscuit is messy. I also recommend bacon over sausage. Sausage has a grease that can drip. That when you're, you know, in the car, it's a little, you know, you're not eating over a surface sometimes. Or over a safe surface. So, but try and open this wrapper and then kind of keep it on my lap a little bit, which is useful. Also, eat when you're driving straight. Right now, I'm turning, getting on the freeway, all this other stuff. Like, this is not a good time to eat. All right. Okay. Thank you. So far, so good. Holding the biscuit over the wrapper, trying to keep the crumbs from getting too far around the car. You know, the McMuffin lines of sandwiches also stay together pretty well. Also, the bacon can be a little tricky sometimes, because sometimes it's a little tough. You know, you're not always biting through it in that first bite, which means you're just taking all the bacon with you, and then you're driving with bacon hanging out of your mouth. And that's a little rough sometimes. All right. There are a few crumbs on my shirt, but generally still okay. Ordered, so, like, they've got their combos and stuff like that, but I mean, they just have the types of meats, you know? Like, they have a sausage McMuffin, but there's nothing on the menu that says bacon McMuffin. But I assume if I rolled up on there and said, like, hey, I want this thing, but I want bacon instead of sausage, they'd be able to do that. That's not some secret menu fucking handshake voodoo. That's just like, man, you got this stuff. Motorcycle's driving past us, and it's pretty close, you know, it's like, I keep going straight while I eat, it's not really a driving problem, but, you know, take a little extra care. All right, here we go. I've done okay on the crumbs, not great. I've done better, but I've certainly done worse. Maybe like 4 sizable crumbs. And now we get in the fast lane and drive as normal. Ugh. Now I've got this sizable Diet Coke. to contend with. I thought about getting some kind of iced coffee drink. Thinking like, hey, let's get something with a little more punch to it, a little more caffeine, a little more something. But I don't know how to order. I don't know what they have. Anyway, Doom seems all right. The multiplayer seems needless still. I ended up playing a little bit more of that. And it's a shame because I really like the look of the armor and the stuff you can do, make it real shiny, choose the metallic colors and make it super shiny. And it does that Halo armor thing where you can have different armor on your left arm and your right arm if you want. But I like the cool shiny armor. You can apply those same colors to the guns, too. So it's like, I want a shiny shotgun. You can have it. I did not try Snap Map last night because it got late. I was playing a bunch. I was like, I'll go to fucking bed. I'll Snap Map later. So we're going to get in, and Brad's been playing it, too, and we'll record. We're going to record a quick look and then turn it around quickly and put it up today. Since they didn't send... Well, they didn't send the press any copies early. There were people on YouTube running, like, their impressions videos with, like, thanks to Bethesda for sending it, blah, 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 in their descriptions. Which is, shitty, I guess I'd say, but also that's the way of things. Do your marketing things and send the game out to the influencers who will then speak to their audiences in glowing positive ways and pay them to do the thing. Like, of course, why wouldn't you do that with the way things are these days? Especially in a case where, like, a lot of the feedback out of the beta was so overwhelmingly negative. I get why they might hold it from the press, and I get why they would want to maybe get some people out there doing their fucking tastemaker brand siren influencer business of, loving the game early, which is a shame. I don't know. That stuff rubs me the wrong way for different reasons than most, because in a case like this, where Doom is pretty good, Doom seems all right, at least all right, if not better, making access to it a shadowy thing where you've only given it to, your marketing department's YouTube, the marketing department doing deals with YouTube people to be on YouTube doing the game, stuff with the game, like, spread the word a little better. Like, if they had sent it out to people, you'd have a bunch of, I suspect you would have a bunch of pretty positive reviews, but, I guess, like, coming out of the beta, I'm sure that they were very shell-shocked by people overwhelmingly talking about how fucking lame the multiplayer was, so I guess I can see why they would be skittish. But, the excuse that they, the thing that they sent out to people asking for review copies was like, well, the servers aren't going to be online until launch, so the multiplayer and Snap Map require a server, so we're not going to send it out until then. Which then you would write back, theoretically, and I doubt anyone did this, because at some point you read that and you read between the lines and go, okay, well, we're just not getting it, so whatever. It's not worth beating your head against this exquisite piece of logic here. But at some point, the question becomes like, well, there's a single player, right? It'd be nice to play that and then start playing the multiplayer when your servers went up. That's how plenty of other games do it. But whatever. As soon as you see people that were on, like people who are not press, people that are like YouTube personality type people that were playing the game and posting their stuff on YouTube when the press didn't even have the game, you're like, okay, No, I get it. I see what you're doing. It's fine. It's what I would probably do if I was at a company that didn't ship a large number of games every year, so, like, the pressure to get each one of them as right as you could possibly get it on all sides is high. In that pressure environment, you can't afford to fucking fuck it up. So I don't know. I'm never too bent out of shape when publishers pull that type of shit. Whatever. And maybe it's the sort of thing that ends up working out in their favor. I don't really know. But you certainly saw a lot of people who just got access to the game last night, reviewers and such, playing early parts of it and going, hey, this seems pretty good, publicly. Which is probably a little more buzz, a little more chatter about the game than they would have gotten otherwise. So maybe they play everybody like a fiddle and it works out works out for the best for them regardless. I don't know. If I was a little more, like, focused on this idea of day one reviews are the most important thing we do, and reviews, if that was still the life I was leading, fuck, man, I would be like, the sky is falling, we're doomed, we're all out of a job, the whole thing's done, wrap it up. But as such, I don't really care. We'll cover the game when we cover the game. I still want to write an Eve Valkyrie review, and that game's been out for a long time. I got things I want to say about that game, I just haven't had time to sit down and hammer it out. And I need to spend a little bit more time with the game, too. Maybe unlock one or two more of the ships. But yeah, I don't know, the business around reviews is always, like, if you have a timely review, it does better. So, that's the impetus on that end of things, is, like, let's try to have a review when people are looking for a review of this game. Which works out. People want a review of the game, you've got a review of the game, everybody wins. But that shouldn't necessarily always be the end-all, be-all of stuff. And it's funny, because you get people that are like, oh man, this review is lower than all the other ones because they want to get traffic to it. They're just trying to get people to click on it, which, as someone who has written a lot of reviews over the years that maybe ended up not lining up with all the other reviews out there, I can tell you, doesn't happen. Like, the only factor that matters in terms of, like, does a review traffic well or not, is the size of the game, the anticipation surrounding the game itself, and the timeliness of the review. That's why it's always so dumb when people try to level those sorts of things at reviews. Like, oh, they're just, you know, they just want to be the lowest score on Metacritic because people are like, nope, that does not happen. I have access to all the logs that I can look over and go like, hey, so incoming referrals from Metacritic, A, they're low all the time because, like, Metacritic is not some huge thing. And they don't get higher when you are an outlier high, you know, on either end of the, like, Metacritic average or whatever. Like, that thing only matters to the industry at this point, which is a shame, because I think, you know, aggregating reviews is, like, there's a noble effort there. There's something to be said for kind of reading that stuff en masse. But too many people have taken it to mean things it never was intended to mean. And by and large, its presence is, you know, like review aggregators in general. Game rankings. There's other stuff out there. Just seems like that's just a net negative on, like, the discourse surrounding games and their quality and the coverage of them. It doesn't actually seem like a huge benefit. Like, I don't mind contributing to it, because, like, there's still something at the core of it, conceptually, that I do believe in, but at some point, this battle against human nature for so long of people just being so dumb. I don't know, it's, you know, at some point, I think that the review thing is a larger conversation. I was just talking to Alex about reviews, like, 40 minutes ago, so it's kind of stayed on my mind a little bit. But yeah, you know, like, we see far more people using quick looks and stuff like that for that situation of, like, looking at long footage of a game and trying to use that to help determine if it's a game they think they would like or not. That's more useful to more people. We talk about games in detail on a podcast. That's more useful to more people. A lot more people listen to the podcast than I'd say, well, you know, you stretch it out over time, maybe reviews end up becoming slightly more popular in some situations, but, well, the podcast is real big, I'll say that, and, you know, we talk a lot about games there too, and that seems helpful for people. So, like, the just the overall usefulness of the traditional review seems to be going down, at least in terms of, like, the relative size of our audience and the type of person that our site tends to appeal to and all that sort of stuff. Like, they usually know a lot about video games or know something about them. Like, they're not coming in fresh. They're not, you know, like, when we would have big reviews on GameSpot, in GameSpot's heyday, when GameSpot was big, or at its biggest, I suppose I should say, you'd have reviews that would do over 1 million views, you know? Where you'd be like, wow, like or you know, 1 million uniques even. It's like, oh wow, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people read this review or loaded this page today. And, you know, that was a very big, very mainstream site at the time. So, like, we were, you know, we weren't necessarily writing for the mothers and fathers, you know, the people that are looking to give gifts to other people for games, like, people that don't know a lot about video games, coming to the site, but, like, certainly with those numbers, that's what you were absolutely, that's absolutely who you were reaching once you got up into those types of numbers. You were reaching beyond the kind of, the daily audience for video game information, the people that are on a message board, the people that are, you know, that are now on Twitter following me or following people that, you know, analysts, you know, like people that are in it, people that feel like that they're clued in, they're following all the right people, they want to argue with you about sell-through numbers for whatever reason, as if that's something that's a fun conversation to have. You know, we're a little further down that road than the big mainstream sites used to be, where, you know, yeah, like, it would make sense to run an article that was like, here's a gift guide for gifts to give someone who likes video games, whereas, like, Giant Bomb wouldn't run that. Everyone reading Giant Bomb knows what the fuck they want. They go get it. They buy a lot of games. We actually have the surveys we've run over the years. The Giant Bomb audience, last time we ran the survey, bought way more games than the average game buyer, and bought more games than any of the, like, the other, than readers of other websites. Like, when we had that data, like, the people that view Giant Bomb are, yes, they are purchasing a lot of games. More than other websites, even in our, like, you know, that in our general range, not even saying the big mainstream sites that are obviously going to have lower numbers because they're just bigger. But I think that audience generally also knows what they like, and in a lot of cases, the standard review, the way it's been written for the past 20 years, the way I've written them for the past 20 years anyway, it's of limited use these days. You know, people like to see the score, they like to read it, they like to see, you know, if it lines up with what they think about a game, or, you know, and you do see some people that are like, man, I wasn't really thinking about this game, but this review actually kind of swayed me. You know, that's the job of good writing, right, is to kind of help you make decisions, you know, like a writing of this type is not necessarily meant to be persuasive in a sleazy way. It's meant to be evocative of the game, one way or the other, and let you kind of make up your own mind. Reviews were never intended to tell people what to do. They're merely a signpost along the way. But I think that signpost is old and could be better. And that's the stuff I, you know, maybe on the other side of E3 when I've got a little more time, like, start putting time into thinking, like, okay, what do we want reviews to be? They do still serve a purpose, but they could probably be better. Or more relevant, I guess I would say, to the needs of our audience. And that's, you know, again, like, that's a weird thing where, like, if we talk about our audience, like, it is some of the most, and we'll talk business, some of the most engaged people out there in the world of video games and video game coverage. When it comes to, you know, buying games, playing them, watching coverage about them, it's an audience that is there to see all that stuff. Which in a way is nice, because, like, when we started down this road of, like, hey, let's start producing longer videos because that would be cool, the industry was, you know, like, the publishing, you know, like, the internet was not into that at the time. That was the sort of thing that, as we did it, people were like, you guys are fucking crazy. Why are you even doing this? No one's going to watch a video that's more than 2 minutes long. But I don't know. I was always just like, look, let's, like, this is actually, like, a good product. This is, like, a good way to see more of a fucking game. Like, this seems like the right move right now. Or the right move 2 years from, you know, or whatever. And you know, sure enough, like, the way the ad market has changed, the way that YouTube has changed a lot of things. Because, you know, you gotta remember, when we started making these decisions, it was actually pretty hard to have long videos on the internet because it was expensive. It still is. If you want to host your own videos and not just throw it out to YouTube and be at the mercy of all their weird content ID stuff and all that. Like, you know, there's still fucking hard costs associated with that stuff. You know, like, that Mario Party file is, what, fucking 9 gigs? That's dumb. We should have taken a break in that stream so that people could download part 1 and then maybe only download part 2 if they intend to watch the whole thing. But yeah, you know, YouTube wouldn't let you upload stuff longer than 10 minutes back then. So, anyway, it's... Point being, we made a lot of decisions back then that just weren't necessarily, like, designed as, like, we're foretelling the future over here. We know this is where it's going. It was more like, this seems like the right thing to do right now. Like, this seems like a good way to cover these games. This seems like it fits in with the way we want to produce content. And we were right. I don't know. I guess that you could look at that two ways. You could look at that as luck, or you could look at that as, you know, we made those decisions and it helped influence the direction that stuff went in. I don't really know. I don't know. I never know if, like, we are influential. I know of some people that have been, like, prominent YouTube people and stuff like that have said that they looked at what we were doing and said, hey, I want to do that, which is flattering and cool, I guess. But I don't, you know, like, whatever. If not us, it certainly would have been any number of other people that were into the idea of longer videos. But I don't know, now, like, a lot of the models around the internet are shifting to be about those sorts of things, the watch time and engagement and all the sort of stuff that they used to just be like, you know, the business end of this shit was a lot more focused on, like, how many ads can we get them to watch? And that's, you know, that's still important, but with the way ad blockers work nowadays, it's just kind of not the only conversation. And getting people to stay on your stuff is a little more important than just getting a big number of people coming through the door every day. Those are the theories. Seems to be where it's at. But I don't know, when it comes to the video game stuff, like, I'm a little more interested in where it's going than where it's at. Where it's at right now just seems fucking weird. Like, there's a lot of this kind of holdover stuff from years and years ago that's still around. Like, how does that stuff grow and evolve? Does it? The way that the video game industry is heading and how it presents its information. I mean, how many people watched that Battlefield trailer reveal thing? Like, when I looked at Twitch, I glanced at Twitch, there were like 600,000 people watching it, apparently, on Twitch. And they were on YouTube as well, and I want to say, like, one other platform. So, if you, the publisher of a video game, can bring in those types of numbers, for your trailer reveal, why would you ever do the old thing of partnering with a media outlet to have them debut that trailer? When instead, you could put on your show, and then on top of that, fly a bunch of the YouTube influencer type people into Sweden and have them sit in the audience and clap for your trailer show, and have them produce some content while they're out there that then runs on their YouTube channel talking about how great the event was. So not only are you controlling the message right out of the gate by running your own show, all of the after-show coverage is something that, you know, you're kind of setting up as a marketing arrangement. It's, like, kind of ingenious. And not really that shifty. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, man, that's terrible. You know, as long as those people disclose, like, oh, yeah, EA flew me to Sweden for this thing, then fine, whatever. I can't imagine they're making deals where it's like, well, maybe they are. But I can't imagine them making too many deals that are like, and you need to say this, and you need to do this. Some of those people are natural promoters to begin with. So as a part of that stuff, they're naturally going to say, hey, here's how to pre-order the game. And you win again when you're the publisher in that case. It's all very fascinating to watch, you know, and I like it in a weird way. Like it's just crazy enough to keep you on your toes. It's just crazy enough to keep you from getting complacent, I guess. Also, or it should be. It should be. Because when you look at stuff like that, and you know, like, knowing what I know about the way games used to be announced and revealed and all that other stuff, whether it was magazine covers or front pages of websites, or, hey, you know, they're going to send out the press release to announce Battlefield, but then IGN's going to have the trailer exclusively for 24 hours, or, you know, like, whatever, or GameSpot's going to get this, and, hey, first screenshots of this game are running in EGM. You would never do that now. None of those individual outlets are big enough to deserve it, or to be like a good platform for that stuff. Because that stuff just gets around social media, like the way people consume and find information has changed so much that, like, you don't need to cater to the specific audience of a website. Like, what's the audience of a website these days anyway? You're talking about the larger internet. You're talking about, like, you know, people out there on Facebook that are getting a trailer shoved in their face because you're paying for it to be there, or their friends are sharing it because their friends like the Battlefield page and then they share the trailer. You know, like, the way information gets out is so, so different. We used to get mad. We used to get, like, frustrated years ago when we would do Game of the Year stuff, because we would create these elaborate presentations for Game of the Year at GameSpot, and we would roll the stuff out and have, you know, there'd be some videos, or there'd be a lot of pages to click through, which for business was nice, but, like, more importantly, like, we spent a lot of fucking time on that shit. And then 5 minutes after it was up, you would go to some message board or use that even, and you would see that someone had condensed the weeks and weeks of work you had done into choosing a Game of the Year and finding out the right way to present Game of the Year, and they had just summed it all up by writing, here's a list of all the categories and all the winners. You'd just be like, motherfucker! Like, fucking shit! God damn it! And that was always really frustrating, but it was the way of things then. And it was only a message board. And now, it could be anything, anywhere. It could be Twitter, it could be Facebook, it could be fucking Plurk. It's usually not plur. Message boards on the respective sites themselves. Creepy Discord servers full of dirtbags. You know, there's a zillion different places for that sort of stuff to happen. Yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating. Because, like, how do you stay ahead of that stuff? Especially, you know, if you're still in the business of turning pages, if you're still in the business of getting unique users to turn pages as, like, a major thing, as, like, a big thing for you, then that stuff is devastating. Social media is a nightmare if you're in that boat. Unless you figure out a way to kind of exploit it, you know, then it becomes like, okay, well, we can play this game too. We can get on Facebook and we can post about the Battlefield stuff, and because we've got reach as well, some of the people that might have seen it on EA's channel might come see it through us instead. And then we'll pay to put it out there, and we'll pay, but it all just promotes the same game, right? I'm oversimplifying a lot of parts of this, and you know, there are certainly more angles to it than this, but just the general push and pull of it all is fascinating. And then you start to factor in the other things that are happening around the game industry, like the rise of mobile and, you know, this kind of still lingering feeling of, like, the relevance of video game consoles, and some of the hand-wringing that goes on around, like, some of the long-term thinking around that. You know, short-term, whatever. Games are getting signed, people are making money, it's a good time for video games. In the traditional sense, console games, PC games, like, all that stuff is humming right now in a lot of ways, despite, you know, what you see about the, you know, Disney Infinity and some of the other stuff out there that you look at and go like, oh, you know, Rockman 4 on Fig. You know, there are things you could look at and go like, well, I don't know if this is healthy or not, but it's like, eh, it's actually, for the people I talk to, and you know, it's a question I ask a lot. It's like, hey, how's stuff going? Like, is everything on fire? And like, no, actually, deals are getting signed, there's money to be made. But I, you know, long term, then that gets a little weird. Long term, what happens when the, you know, the Tomahawk F1 hits China? Will there ever be an Android-based console that takes phone games and puts them on TV in a relevant way? Or will people develop for that thing in a relevant way? You know, there's just so many different weird things happening all over the place. And that's what, I don't know, like, all that stuff is part of what keeps me really excited about this line of work and covering that industry. Though it's also a little harrowing at times, because you do have those moments of just like, this could all fucking go away tomorrow. Like, that's the internet. What new weird technology will come along tomorrow and devastate a lot of the existing stuff. Mixler. That's the answer. Mixler. Mixler's not the answer to anything. I don't know. Mixler is the answer to what's it like being trapped in this fucking tunnel. It sucks. Got this drink at least. Honking really helps. How far did I get in Uncharted? Chapter 7? 8? 8, I think it is. I don't know. I haven't played any more since the podcast. How far did I get in Trimps, man? Trimps. I think I went through two cycles of resets in Trimps. I had Trimps open through most of the Game of the Year stuff. Through most of December, I had Trimps open in a tab. Still in the tunnel. All I know is trim is a really funny thing to say, but not for the reason you're saying it. Oh, yeah, the Shadow Complex thing went up. Yeah, that was cool. It was good to test out our fancy voice, our fancy Skype box. With someone other than the New York office, who I believe also has the same fancy Skype box. Shadow Complex is just a cool game. I am surprised that it holds up as well as it does, considering the number of games in that style that have kind of come in the years following. And man, that video, like hearing him talk specifics, or I mean, allude to specifics, I guess I should say, about a sequel to Shadow Complex. Man. It's funny because we had talked to him a little bit about a Shadow Complex sequel years ago, you know, and kind of heard that it had been, you know, that some work had been done, basically, and kind of seeing him get, like, kind of excited about some of the ideas for that sequel in 2016 is pretty awesome. I wonder when... I want to see what the J.J. Abrams stuff they're doing is, the Spy Jinx. I want to see what that thing ends up being. Like, I was not a huge Infinity Blade fan, but that thing was popular and really well made. It's like, you kind of look at, like, Chair's track record for the stuff that they've done, like, it's all pretty good. Not all of it's going to be to everyone's taste, but, you know, like it's all been, like, they've made quality stuff. So, I want to see what the thing they're working on ends up being. I have to imagine that is the project they're all totally focused on. And, you know, maybe once that's out of the way, then maybe a Shadow Complex sequel would make some sense. I don't know. That'd be cool. There's craft services and trailers and stuff set up out here. In front of either a large bar or strip club. I don't know. There are a bunch of steam trays and shit out there and like buses, like vans with paper signs with numbers in the windows. Look like they're setting up to drop people off or pick people up or something. Some kind of event happening there. Center lane up here still closed? It has been. It's been a real, real fucking pain in the ass. All right. Looks like they did not close it today, so hopefully they're done with whatever they need to do. Oh. Big stretch. There we go. Oh. Let's see what's on the radio for the last fleeting minutes of this drive. Whole click is also bout it. All right. Go around these gigantic trucks. Maybe not hit this asshole walking with his motorcycle helmet. Get on the sidewalk. That's why there's a sidewalk. Oh, this alley, I swear. All right. Everybody have a good Friday. I made it, so I'm gonna go, and yeah, I'll see you later. Got some live shows on the site, so you know, check that out. I'll see you.